great to have you participate in a reading. Wonderful job. I've got a few people that might be unintentionally angling for jobs today. We got Daniel reading. Bobby's maybe going to join the choir if we do some Sesame Street medleys later or something. So, hopefully some good times to be. And wonderful again to see all the ways that we all contribute together as our family in worshiping God and encouraging each other. And thank you to the choir as well. That message of seeing Jesus and Jesus being with us and what we're doing is so important, especially for the companioning series that we're going through. And just a reminder that we've been doing this now for a few weeks, looking at all the ways that God walks with us in our lives and gives us what we need to be able to go through even difficult times, or is with us when we're joyful, all that whole range of human experience, and helps us be fully who we are. And that because God is with us in that companioning way, that then enables us to be companions for each other as we journey through life and figure out the best ways to deal with, again, everything from very difficult circumstances with that support to celebrating and just enjoying the blessings that relationships can bring. We've looked at a number of the characteristics of what companioning can be. We've talked about how it includes holy listening, being vulnerable with each other, going out of our way to figure out ways to be helpful, doing even complex, considerate collaboration, and so that we know that those companioning relationships, even maybe in seasons, are especially supportive one way or the other, that we're honoring the contributions of everyone in a companioning relationship, and so we're able to know that we never have to feel like that will only be draining for us. Lately, we've looked at some more specific examples of what we can do, and we've learned about how companioning can just start by doing what we can. It's not always a big, giant project that this has to look like. Sometimes it's just finding those things that match our interests and the small acts that we can do. We can do this wherever we are. Same thing. We don't have to go completely out of our way. Often there are existing relationships. We're putting a little bit of that boost that we get from God's companionship with us. We can companion others, like we heard from Katie and Robin last week. Today we're going to talk about how we can do whatever we can, wherever we are, with those that God is walking with. And we can hear especially some folks that maybe it's not always natural or easy or straightforward for us to see those people that God is walking with, but when we know we're going to go and be with God with them, that we can be encouraged to join in companioning as well. You know, it's hopefully been encouraging a lot of the times to talk about, yeah, getting close with people, having meaningful companioning relationships, hearing about these wonderful characteristics that help support our relationships even when they're difficult. That's happy and encouraging. But we have to acknowledge that also sometimes getting close to people means that we notice differences more easily that we didn't notice if we weren't getting close and getting to know people as easy. And that sometimes navigating those differences make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. We don't know quite what to do. It can feel tricky. But I hope that as we think about that question, what does it look like when we start to get closer to people? And often it's really encouraging and exciting, but other times it might raise questions for us. That fundamentally we worship a God, and a God who companions with us, that is different than us. You have a creator and creation that's about as different as you can get. And yet, God in that character, who could have decided to stay far off, to just set things in motion and kind of hang out, or to make us grovel every time to get any amount of attention or care whatsoever, that God instead said, in that difference, I am going to love my creation fully. I'm going to come as close to my creation as possible. I'm even going to experience through Jesus all of the things that they experience from day to day. And that so God finds joy and glory and love in coming as a companion, even to those like us that are as different in character from God as we could be. Elena has been sharing with me recently, and also with Robin and some things that they've been working on together, what some of her experiences are where she's been impacted by companionship, both from God and from others in her life. And so then she's been able to share companionship with people personally and in her work. And that sometimes that does include, in her own way, some of those things that we might feel like, you know, I want to be a companion, but I don't always know exactly what to do. And she's seen how God has helped navigate those differences and even not just navigate them and say, oh, all right, I tolerated it, I managed it, I got through, but can experience them as a true and full gift because we know that God has made those people, even in their differences, the same that he has made us and that he can bring us together. I'm so glad that she's been willing to share her thoughts. I know that you will find as much encouragement and inspiration as I have in talking to her, and I know that it is full of God's heart. So I invite you to join me in listening to Elena and what she'll be sharing.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to invite you guys, if you want, I have a couple video clips as part of my talk, if you're interested in being able to see them. Want, you can move out there. If not, they're also going to be on Facebook, so you can always access them later, but it's up to you guys. Okay, we're going to start with a little video clip. Charlotte. She's just one of the many people I have the honor of knowing through my work. For those of you that don't know, I work with Goodwill Columbus, and your first question might be, which store? It's not a store at all. We are so much more. We work every day to help people learn and grow and to enhance their lives through the power of work. I submitted an application nearly 20 years ago and have been blessed with the opportunity to companion individuals with developmental disabilities for the past 20 years. So I love what Charlotte said because I think it's so pertinent. We all have our barriers that we face, but at the end of the day, we can all relate because we're all human. You know, we all go through the same things. We all experience pain. We all experience, struggles of different kinds throughout life. But as long as we're all there with one another, we will get through it, and we're all better for it in those relationships. March is Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. That's part of the reason why I was asked to speak about my experience companioning. Just one of the opportunities that the individuals with developmental disabilities primarily and the professionals that walk alongside them have to bring awareness to the gifts and abilities they possess and bring their voices to the forefront. However, this is a daily goal and sometimes struggle. I'm sure many people know not the rights of individuals with developmental disabilities. Inclusion and understanding have come a long way, but it hasn't always been that way. And so we are always learning, growing, educating, and striving to bring understanding in the community to help form more natural connections for those individuals and also understanding that they are able to work. I mean, Corey's a great example that, you know, he's working hard and he does all these wonderful things here at the church, and, you know, we've companioned him our whole life, but there's more individuals out there that need that and encouragement and support. So I'd like to share some of the things I've learned working with individuals with developmental disabilities that may help bring some understanding or comfort in interacting with individuals with a developmental disability. First, there's a couple different thoughts, and I just recently learned the second one, but a big push in our field is person-first language. When we're referring to somebody with a developmental disability, we want to always put the person first. So, you know, we don't want to say that autistic individual or refer to somebody as maybe the adaptive equipment they use. But then I also heard recently in a meeting that there's also another movement coming about called disability first language. Some people do want to be identified, so I think it's most safe to ask that person how they want to be identified. And then know that we professionals, we mess up too. One of the examples I shared is often in planning at work, we start referring to people as wheelchairs and walkers. And they're not, they're adaptive equipment, they're that person. So we have to really put it in our minds, and we also try to help educate. And I'm sure Mom has put up with this many times when I'm like, nope, that's not right. And I know she has no ill intent, but we're always trying to educate and help people understand what might be most comfortable for the individual. So that was just one concept. Ask before helping. Don't assume that somebody wants the help or needs the help. Again, something that we screw up on all the time, you know, or that I get a little bit nervous. I know somebody walks with a little bit of a shuffled gait, and I want to help them everywhere they go, but maybe they don't want that help. You know, they've learned to navigate that difference, and they know how to take care of it, and we're diminishing their ability by automatically offering that assistance. A third area is acknowledge the individual, not their staff. You don't assume that they can't answer the question for you or know what you're talking about. Talk to them. If maybe they're not able to communicate in a way that you would understand, we work with a lot of individuals who are nonverbal. Ask them, do you mind if I talk to your staff? They can probably shake their head yes or no, or they may just tell you, keep talking to me. I have one gentleman who has a communication device, and it is so complex, and he can operate that thing. You just have to give him the time of day to get through and put his thoughts in there and speak it back to you. And he gets very frustrated when, you know, you interact with the staff as opposed to him. So, always interact with that individual, not the staff that may be assisting them. If needed, sit down when talking with someone in a wheelchair. I mean, a quick interaction, you're probably going to say hi. But if you're going to sit down and have a conversation, sit and have it at eye level, you know, just like you or I would have if we're standing talking with one another. So that's just a simple one. And then one of the things that I love to talk about is every behavior is communication. If we can frame that in every aspect of life, it makes things somehow make a little more sense, or you can begin to relate to that individual. A lot of times our individuals that we work with haven't been heard their whole life, and the frustration comes out in a behavior, or maybe they might steal your food, but they're not doing it because they want to be mean and steal your food. That's how they learn to eat, to make sure that they got fed when they maybe lived in an institution, you know, 40 years ago or however long ago it might have been. So, remember that behaviors are not out to speak negatively against the individual, but maybe as a communication of a discomfort. Might become a little more prevalent with somebody with autism. Sometimes they repeat the same things over and over again. They might pace. They might do some different things. It may be a sign that they're uncomfortable in the situation, but it just might be them regulating themselves to be more comfortable in that situation. And another thing that I always say, smiles and kindness are universal language. When we went to Mexico to Mission Mizawa, a lot of people are like, I don't speak Spanish. I'm like, yeah, but people understand smiles and kindness regardless of if you can directly communicate. So that would also come into play with maybe somebody who is nonverbal and can't directly communicate with you. They will hear and understand that for sure. So those are just a couple simple things that I think people can try to remember if you're interacting with somebody maybe with a developmental disability. As Psalm 139 says, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all created just as God intends us to be, and he gives us each unique gifts we are meant to share with others. And boy, have I learned that the individuals I work with have so many special gifts to share, gifts so worth expressing, knowing, and valuing. As at work, we listen, encourage, help develop those gifts, and help find avenues to share those gifts. Not everyone needs this, but again, historically, individuals with developmental disabilities were dismissed as valued members of the community, so sometimes their voices become lost. So don't we all desire to be heard, seen, and loved for who we are and to have a voice? We all have our discouragement when somebody's not hearing what we're saying or valuing what we're saying. So, the more that we can embrace that as, a society, then we'll be able to embrace those that have differences. As professionals in this field, we're not there to become their voice. That was something that Rob really helped me kind of put into words with the Proverbs. We're advocating on a daily basis for our individuals, but we're not there to speak for them. We're there to listen and hear what they have to say and help them be heard when they need that. And they can often tell us when they want that help. Sometimes they want to make that connection themselves. So we're there to stand beside them and help them raise their voice and stand with them as advocates and community connectors. So we all feel a greater sense of worth and value when we have a voice and role in our community, whether it is through a job, volunteering, friendships, or natural connections that we form. If I am doing my job along with other professionals in the developmental disability community, someday we won't have a job. That's our goal, is to make sure that people are getting those natural connections, that they don't
need somebody to stand beside them, and that we would all become their advocates, and that it's not a paid professional that has to do that. There's nothing more important than knowing that we have that sense of we've formed that connection ourselves. So, recently during a leadership meeting, our director posed a question for us to answer about our why. Why did we get into this line of work, and why do we continue to do this work? And many of us said we wanted to make an impact, and at the end of the day, feel good about having helped someone. Our coworker, she's been ill for quite a long time, and she's kind of our work curmudgeon, but she had a just to think of it the other way, like, aren't we really the ones who are impacted? And that, are we really there making an impact as much as what we get from it? And we all have a need to be needed, and it's a reverse thing. So, you know, when we step out to companion others, often we're rewarded in a way that we never expected. We gain so much love, friendship, and joy in the process of companioning others. So this is where I want to share my second video, and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
Individuals in our program were invited to participate in this, and they worked with local artists, Honey and Blue, who through this organization came to us, and they sat around for several weeks writing this song. And so these words are the words that our individuals came up with that they wanted to be heard and they wanted folks to know. And I was saying, the reward is so much greater. I mean, this was their way of thanking us and how we lift them up, and I think that's just fantastic. I love it. It's a great song. And because of this, it's created this ripple effect. So Charlotte, who was speaking at the beginning, she's part of we have an art studio through Goodwill where we have about 20 artists a day that create art for sale. And so she and a couple of the other ladies in the video created artwork for jacket is what it used to be called, of like a CD or whatever. I know they don't really print those anymore. It's kind of all more online. But so they created artwork to go along with the song. And they claim they didn't make it about our director, but it looks just like her because our director always has either blue or purple or green hair. And they even gave her the picture that, it looks just like her. So, clearly they just wanted to say thank you to us for everything that we've done for them. And I love the words so much about how we're able to lift them up daily, but we get that too. So, but Charlotte also, as a result of this, is now working at the Marysville prison doing art classes with the inmates there. So I kind of talked to Wendy about it, because she's doing, similar type projects in the prisons. And so Charlotte's teaching these art classes about the artwork that she does to the inmates. And then at the end of her session, she's done two sessions now. At the end of the session, she gets to go to the prison and meet the ladies that she's worked with and share in their stories and letting them express what they want. And this also is a connection with that WAVE program that we got with. So it's just a grand exact example of that ripple effect. So not everything obviously is going to be that grand of a ripple effect in our campaigning, but when we can see the possibilities, things like this happen, and, you know, we're really helping our folks be heard. You know, there are some smaller ways that, obviously, if you're feeling led to work with individuals with developmental disabilities, there are some smaller ways that we can all contribute. Obviously, well, I guess maybe not obviously, but many of you probably know that Goodwill's been working with The Garden. I connected, we have a site here at the Northeast Center, and I connected a couple groups there. Our mission is to get out and do volunteer opportunities, things that expose individuals to work and possibilities of things they might enjoy as work, or just a way to contribute and give back. So I connected a couple of the groups there with Rob and Robin and got them involved working with The Gardens out here. And then they also come and do fun activities. And then through all that, I kind of built that connection with Seeds of Caring. But so as it's getting warmer again, I mean, we'll be back working in the garden. I think it's every other Thursday or during the web grown season. It comes
every Thursday
week.
Starting this weekend.
Okay. So they'll be here every Thursday working in the garden if you'd like to come out and meet some of our folks. Sadly, Brandy is not with her program anymore, but as Robin told me, like, she brings so much joy and sunshine. She tells you how beautiful you are all the time, but we have others that will do that. You know, I mean, there's so many wonderful things about working with them. So, you know, you can come join them for the garden activities, and when the weather's not cooperative, they come inside and maybe play games and do things to get to know each other, but just showing that, you know, we want to welcome them into our community as well through the garden. So that's one opportunity. Another thing that we're looking for is experiencing work opportunities. If anybody works someplace that they think might be really interesting that we could come and explore, you know, we'll do the talking, we'll do the teaching. You know, if you just want to open up a workplace to us and or think that there's something that might be interesting for them to learn about for work, then we would love that. You can always talk to me if you think you have something that somebody may enjoy learning about, or sharing a skill or hobby. We've, for years, had just like regular volunteers. If you have an hour a week, you just want to come hang out and do crafts with people or just sit around and chit-chat with them, that's always an opportunity that is available. And, you know, if there's a group home in your neighborhood, you know, include them and reach out to them. You know, I think... I've noticed when I'm rolling around picking people up, sometimes they look a little closed off and shut down, but try to invite them to be part of your community because you might meet some really cool people. So, God will lead you to the most wonderful opportunities if you open your heart. We can make all the plans we want, because I thought I was going to totally go into another field. And but, you know, if we let go and we let God, he'll lead us where we're meant to be. And my heart is so full, and I hope you'll prayerfully consider spending time with Goodwill.
Thank you again so much, Elena, for sharing. I think maybe she's taking the seat of the group at the hallway. But it's really wonderful and beautiful, and hopefully, you know, for those of us that have a little bit of free time, we have that existing relationship right here. It's really fun. They're great in the garden. We've been playing games with them, too. They're little things that we can come up with around here. So it really is just about building that relationship and seeing where God and circumstance leads us for what we can do together. And so I hope that if you're kind of curious about some other relationships that you can do that are maybe less of a project than you think but are still really beautiful, I hope you'll think about some of those opportunities that Elena spoke of, not only here, but in those other things, like she said, too, with your workplace or your interests or hobbies, whatever it is that might be. And I want to highlight a couple of things that I really love that you shared, Elena. One is how we can see God just making things happen that we would have had no idea when we start to do some of this campaigning, right? Like, just the opportunity to say, Elena, when she heard about the garden and knew that her Goodwill groups were looking for something to do, made that connection. And then that's turned into a relationship that's been really beautiful. Like she said, it's now turning into things that just maximize, I think, because God's Spirit is working. They helped us know about another organization called Seeds of Caring that is kids and their families that do volunteering. And they're going to come and volunteer in the garden. They're going to do other volunteer projects in the fellowship hall. We suddenly have a way here and there to hang out with kids between 2 and 12 and their families, as many as like 30 of them at a time throughout the summer. That's a really amazing thing. And the art connection that she was able to make with Wendy, and that they're bringing all those things together. God's spirit will move when we start to hang out with people. God will find all the ways that that can become even more than we anticipate. And then lastly, we don't always talk about it a ton in church and sermons and things like that, but I want to highlight, sometimes we think, like, what does heaven look like, right? Like, streets of gold, you know, like wings and harps, and we have all these sort of abstract, weird analogies and images. But what Elena talked about today, I think, is really that. It's God moves for justice. God loves the people, especially, who often society and culture don't always make the same connections for. And so God encourages us to do all of these things and puts an institution that are encouraged to do all these things to bring people up who are otherwise left out. But ultimately, heaven looks like what you said, where those institutions are not even necessary because we're all just together and it's all just working and it looks like that music video. And we get little taste of that whenever we hang out together. And proclaiming that here, like, you may not have realized it, but proclaiming, like, heaven and heaven that we can have on earth right now, like the Lord's Prayer says, is really a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I hope that we can keep looking for opportunities like that in these circumstances and through this companioning series. That's really the idea, is that we're having those tastes and experiences of heaven, because that's what God's setting up for us ultimately. So as we get that encouragement from Elena, and thanks again to folks like Katie and Peggy and Wendy, who have shared other opportunities with us too, we're going to offer ourselves to see what God can do when we just make those little connections. God will maximize it, and we'll have Sally pray for any other ways that we can offer ourselves in ministry and love to God as well.
Please join me in our prayer for our offering. By your Holy Spirit, O God, you bind us together as one body and empower us to carry on the ministry that you enflesh as Christ. In our differences and in our moments when we wander away from each other, unite us anew. Give us fresh eyes to see the ways in which you have connected us rather than the ways we have separated ourselves. We pray also for opportunities to strengthen the bonds between us. We offer all we have to you that you might combine it to do more for the purposes of your kingdom than we can realize. As we make our offering, also send us out, but send us together. I know, I lost it.